Assalamu alaikum. We greet you this morning with peace and blessings. We'd like to thank you for tuning in and joining us on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor show. Today we have a very special guest, Dr. Hassan Ennejar. He's an honored and esteemed associate professor of sociology and anthropology, noted author and editor of Al Jazeera Cross-Cultural Understanding, and the author of The Gulf War, Overreaction and Excessiveness. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning, Dr. Ennejar.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank God. I'm so happy to be in this show today.
We are also joined with Mona this morning, who is my co-host on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor show.
Assalamu alaikum, people. And alaykum it is salam. A blessing to have you here. And we're happy that you're here with us today.
Same here. I'm so happy that we are talking to our neighbors in Northwest Georgia, and I hope that our voice would reach beyond even that.
And Chattanooga, yes. And we are actually reaching, just so you know, we have a wide variety of listeners all over the world. We actually have people in Saudi Arabia that are listening, in North Carolina, so you can listen online. Yeah. So anybody who wants to listen just can, you know, type in www.groove93 and listen live, and you can hear our show. And today's a very important issue, so that's why we're so glad you're here with us.
May Allah bless you for all the work you are doing.
Inshallah. So we're going to be speaking about Palestine today. And in light of the recent issues going on in the world, we think it's important for people to know and learn what's happening, why it's happening, and where it all began. So if you could just give us a little introduction, Dr. Ennejar, about the historical background of Palestine.
The most ancient population group in Palestine were known as Canaanites. And Canaan means, in Arabic, Qan'an, means content people. Therefore, listeners may have heard about the word or the phrase, this is the land that flows with milk and honey.
Yes.
This is in reference to the blessed land there and the population there. These are the people who were called Canaan or content people, in reference to how much fertile the land and how much beautiful and peaceful that piece of property in this planet. So this was the beginning, and historical records show that they were there in what's now known as Palestine in the third millennium BC, means 3,000 years BC. We have records of them being there, enjoying their life in that piece of land. Also, they were mentioned in the Bible with name, the word Canaan. For example, in Genesis 10:19, Canaan was defined in the Bible as the land currently known as Palestine and Lebanon. This area, part of Lebanon also, they were there in Canaan. The Bible also mentions that at the time of Abraham, we say in Islam, an Islamic name, Ibrahim, at the time of his arrival, he visited with the king of Nablus, which was called Shechem. And the name of the king was Abimelech. And these are two Arabic words. Abi means the father of, and Malik, either king or owner.
Okay.
And he had good terms with him. And the Bible mentions that he was king of Philistines. And in fact, so once the Bible mentioned that it is the land of Canaan, that when Abraham came, and another mentioning the king of Nablus or Shechem as Philistine king. So this means that there was another population group, particularly on the coast, but they interacted. These were the Palestinians. In the Bible, they were mentioned as Philistines.
Right.
And the word P or F is a difference between Latin and Greek, actually. Mm-hmm. And right now, currently in Arabic, we say Palestine. We don't mm-hmm. say Pa. Pa is like Latin, and Fa is like Greek.
Okay.
That's the origin. But it's the same thing, exactly. When Abraham arrived, He was greeted. It was really a family, his family and his nephew's family. And he was greeted with respect, and people followed him, and they loved him, actually. And he settled in a city called Al-Khalil, in English known as Hebron.
So I have a question, and please excuse this if it doesn't sound proper, but you said Canaanites and Philistines. So is it fair, or can you attribute any group to these people? Were they considered, for example, Christians or Arabs or Jews? I mean, what was the, and what did that mean to them, like as saying this is the first people on that land?
These were not Christians, nor Muslims, nor Jews.
Okay.
This is the time of Abraham, and even in the Holy Quran, God Almighty, Allah, praise to him, tells us that Abraham was not a Jew or a Christian. Okay. He was before that. Jewish or Judaism started to be known after Moses, after the Torah. Mm-hmm. And Christianity started to be known after Jesus Christ. These people are 3,000 years before Christ.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, they were not Christians or Jews.
They were pagan, weren't they?
They were pagan. We don't know. God told us in the Quran that there are prophets and messengers he told us about. Mm-hmm. And there are others he did not tell us about.
Exactly.
So we cannot really say they were pagans, or they were not Muslims. They were not believers. We cannot say that.
Yeah, but we know in the Quran that it speaks about Abraham, peace be upon him. And during that time, they were idol worshippers.
Yeah, but they followed him during his time, mm-hmm. like I just mentioned a little while ago, in Hebron, in Al-Khalil, and they offered him a place to reside in. And when his wife died, he wanted to purchase land from them. They insisted not to sell. They just take it for a gift, for example. My point here, they followed Abraham.
Yeah.
They were believers. That's my point here.
Yes.
And more importantly, these were the original two population groups, the Palestinians on the coastal plain in the eastern Mediterranean, what's now known as Palestine and Lebanon.
Okay.
And the Canaanites everywhere, but particularly in what we call the West Bank, the mountainous area, and especially this king. But we have interaction between them in the third millennium BC and in the second millennium. And they were together. Actually, they went to Egypt and had a state in Egypt east of the Delta during the second millennium BC together. And when the Egyptian records describe them, they describe that some of these foreign invaders came in the sea, that's the Palestinians, and some came from the east in the desert. These were the Canaanites. But the Bible tells us at the time of Abraham, there was a Philistine king in what's now known mountainous West Bank. So they were everywhere together, which means that they were before the third millennium, but we don't have records.
Right.
Okay.
Very good.
Also, I was going to say, but we know it gets too deep probably, but even Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew best, so he knew what was coming anyway. But Adam and Eve, you know, they were, or as we say, Adam and Hawa, they were the original Muslims. You can say that, right?
Of course.
Yes.
Adam is a prophet of God. He was taught by Allah, praise to him. And we don't have really a time frame. Nobody can claim that. There are claims. Some people claim that. But Allah, praise to him, did not tell us about any chronology in the Quran, because what's important is the principles.
Yes, and so that follows with what you said. We don't know who was a believer and who wasn't, because they all came from this.
Yes,
and
but was a at the time of Abraham, we know that the Philistines and the Canaanites were believers because they followed him.
Okay.
Yes.
So
okay.
What's the promise that God gave to Abraham, peace be upon him? And who was it meant to apply to?
Okay. The promise is really a fantastic idea. And in the Bible, and it is in the Holy Quran. And it is abused big times by some people, twisting it for their own side. But I will talk about it first from the Bible, biblical viewpoint,
okay.
Then from the Quranic viewpoint.
Okay.
In the Bible, for example, or what's the promise anyway?
Yes.
In the Bible, Allah prays to him, encouraging Abraham to leave his city of Ur in Iraq from this land which rejected the faith, rejected the message of God.
Okay.
And Allah prays to him, wanted to encourage him to travel. Don't worry, travel. There are other places I want you to go and preach the message of God. And therefore, he went through Bilad al-Sham, which we call, this is Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, and even to Egypt. To encourage him to be happy when you leave your country forced is something different from you leave voluntarily. Like, for example, immigrants today who plan to immigrate to the United States,
yeah,
or to Canada or Australia or Europe.
Mm-hmm.
If you plan it and you love it, it's something.
You're immigrating.
Yeah, it's immigrating and,
sure,
and no hardship. Yeah, mm-hmm. There will still be some difficulty for anybody going to another,
sure,
culture, but it's different from being forced.
Sure.
He was forced, like.
So he was like,
they were about to kill him because he broke the idols there.
Right.
So Allah prays to him, wanted to tell him something, good news. Okay, leave this place and I will give you a blessed land, a holy land for you, Abraham. And after that, it was repeated in other verses, for your son, Isaac. Or for Isaac. Then it was repeated and confirmed for Jacob and his descendants. So the promise, literally, and I emphasize that, was for Abraham and his descendants.
Okay.
Which mean Isaac and
Jacob.
Ismail.
Oh, Ismail, okay.
These are his two sons.
Sons, yes.
Then afterwards, it was confirmed that it is for Isaac and Ishaq, mm-hmm, and his descendant. Then it was affirmed again for Israel, or Jacob, and his descendants, the 12 children and their descendants. It wasn't, the promise wasn't for Jews, or for Muslims, or for Christians.
Okay.
It was for this family, the genealogical descendants of Abraham. It's very clear.
Okay.
I challenge anyone around the world to show me a verse in the Bible that says the promise is for Jews,
okay,
or for Christians, or for Muslims. No, it was literally for this family.
I got you.
To recompensate them for the loss being forced out of their town. No more, no less. Twisting it to suit believers of this faith or,
okay,
that faith,
mm-hmm,
is a twisting the holy book.
Okay.
Now, examples from the Bible, there about it, I researched about 25 verses.
Okay.
That what I said is there. Descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Okay.
One of them is Genesis 26:3. And this is for Abraham. Then, Genesis 15:18-21 for Abraham. And Genesis 26:3 for Isaac, and Genesis 28:13 for Jacob. That's exactly what I mentioned about that. Now, this is known as part of the covenant, actually.
Mm-hmm.
What's the covenant? Most people just take this, what they want from it. Okay, the piece of land, the real estate.
Yes.
Okay. But it's not about that exactly. It's a covenant between God and the believers.
Okay.
I am willing to protect you and help you and give you a place to reside in. In return, the people forget about in return. In return for you to be righteous. In return for you to be just. So justice and righteousness are conditions for the covenant to work. Anybody who says anything else is just mistaken. This is what's written. Righteousness is mentioned in Genesis 15:6, and righteousness and justice are mentioned in Genesis 18:19. More important than these two verses is Exodus 34, 28, upholding the Ten Commandments. You uphold the God is telling the children of Israel, you uphold the Ten Commandments, I uphold my part of the covenant. Mm-hmm. So thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not cheat, etc., lie, etc. If people are killing right and left, how can God be responsible to uphold that? It's not. That's the biblical side. Mm-hmm. Now the Quran. The Quran affirms that emphatically, that the covenant has two sides. To the extent that when Abraham asked God in the Quran, mentioned in the Quran, I want you, God, also to take care of my posterity. Then quickly, Allah prays to him, God told him, not the wrongdoers. You have my pledge to protect you and give you good name and let humanity mention your name in good way, like we Muslims in every prayer. When we sit down for tashahhud, what do? We praise the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And we praise Abraham.
Yes, we do.
In every prayer, mm-hmm. 5 times a day.
Yes.
That's God's promise to Abraham. Yes. And when he pleaded with him, oh God, please, how about my posterity? He said, not the wrongdoers among them. So anyone who is doing wrong, is disobedient to God, does not have an iota of the covenant to them. That's the promise. So the promise is for Abraham and his descendants, literally genealogical descendants, physical descendants, not followers of faith. Otherwise, Palestine would be owned by all Muslims, all Christians,
yes,
all Jews
yes.
in the world.
Yes.
And it's impossible for them to own
it.
We love it, yes. Love is offered. All good believers, righteous ones all over the world love that holy land. That's okay. But to own it, Allah, praise to him, in the Bible and in the Quran, said this is for the genealogical descendants of Abraham in compensation for their loss of their life in Ur in Iraq. The Quranic verse is in Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 124. Allah, praise to him, says, moreover, it says, O children of Israel, remember my favor, which I have bestowed upon you, and fulfill your covenant with me. I fulfill my covenant with you, and fear none but Allah but me. That's very clear. This is verse chapter 2, verse 14. You uphold your part, I uphold mine. But if you forget about me, I forget about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the promise. It is also confirmed in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, verse 124. More, actually, to the extent that you cannot really take it for granted that God gave me this piece of land and for my children, whether I am an atheist or a believer, whether I am wrongdoer or not.
Right.
That's not true. This is what I wanted to clarify
sure.
about the promise.
Sure.
So a promise for the believers.
Okay.
And who are the descendants of Abraham today? Who can claim to be? We need genetic really testing.
Exactly.
And they're where, believe it or not, there have been scholars in Israel itself who have conducted DNA testing on Palestinians, what's called Palestinian people, the Christians and Muslim Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
And some Jews are Palestinians. These are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the descendants of the Israelites. A whole lot of Christians and Jews are just convert to Christianity and
sure.
Muslims all
sure.
over the world.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is spread all over the world,
mm-hmm.
and people accepted the faith, whether it is Judaism, Christianity, or Islam. This doesn't make them children of Abraham.
Exactly.
I wanted to clarify as emphatically as I can.
So when you say that, I'm sorry, Mona, is that like saying, okay, these people that tested for Abraham, this is their land?
This Abraham told them, I am going to give you a better land than the one you are living in it. But you don't take it for free. If you want it, Abraham bought it. Bought a grave for Sarah, his wife, from the Hebronite. And they wanted to give it to him for free. He refused. So don't come from all over the world and take Palestine from the Palestinian people by force and say, I have a covenant
exactly.
with God. That's really contradictory to the Bible you claim you believe in.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. So the Palestinians were the second population that went to the Holy Land. Is that correct?
That's it.
Okay, so how did they interact with the first inhabitants? I think that was the Canaanites, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Like I mentioned, at the time of Abraham, both of them were already there mm-hmm. interacting. But historically speaking, Canaanites were first.
Okay.
And if you want the origins of both of them, uh-huh. the Canaanites are Arabs.
Okay.
And
yeah,
they,
I was gonna
they
say,
spoke,
who are they?
Yeah, they spoke
yeah.
Arabic.
Okay.
Arabs are from the Arabian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be good weather with rivers mm-hmm. and gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And climate change made it like a desert.
Sure.
Right now. So there, with deserts, there would be famines.
Yeah.
And people migrate. And they migrate where? To the north, which is more fertile. So this is the origin of the Canaanites. And a whole lot of the words in reference to them are Arabic words, like their name. Canaan means content people.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of when you listen, when you have some words, they are Arabic words. Actually, mm-hmm. like the name of the king, Abi Malik. It's just Arabic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Palestinians, there is an agreement among historians that they came from Greece, from Crete, mm-hmm. and from islands in the Aegean Sea between Turkey today and Greece.
Okay.
And they came to the coastal plain of Palestine and South Lebanon. And they had their settlement there. But in 1,000 years, or more, 1,000 years or more,
sure.
they interacted with the Canaanites,
mm-hmm.
and they became like one nation. Like I mentioned, the Bible once mentioned that you are going to the land of Canaan.
Uh-huh.
Then another verse, he interacted with the king of the Philistines, Abimelech, meaning they were already interacting.
Okay.
And the land, the area is known as Canaan, and the people among them are Canaanites and Palestinians or Philistines.
Interesting.
That's the origin. But if you want the first one, Canaanites, then the Greeks came and interacted with them for in the second millennium or a third millennium, and they became one nation.
But there wasn't war between them, right? I mean, they interacted and
we
they
are
lived
not,
amongst each other?
We don't have records about wars between Canaanites and Philistines.
So how did they interact with each other?
It should be intermarriage.
Okay, so they
were
one, basically.
Yeah, the fact that this Abimelech is in the West Bank city of Nablus,
mm-hmm.
or in the old days called Shechem, the fact that they were already there everywhere.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So the Egyptian, Israelites. Were the
I want to mention something
sure.
else about the Palestinians, the Philistines.
Yes, please.
They established a state,
okay.
a union of cities. In the old times, ancient times, every city would be surrounded by a wall
okay.
and controlled by a king.
Mm-hmm.
There were five city-states on the Palestinian coast. They together became a federation or one state, and it's known as the Palestinian Pentapolis. Pentapolis means five
okay.
states.
Okay.
These were from south to north, Gaza in the south, then to the north of Gaza, Ashkelon, then Ashdod. The word Ashdod, this is my village, by the way.
Okay.
And it means the people who are tough or strong people.
So that's, you're a Philistine, Ann.
Yes, I am. I have Philistine. Of course, you cannot say I am only Philistines. I am the product of all the people who came to Palestine, which, in fact, like, I would mention some of them, not all of them. For example, the last millennium before Christ, the 1,000 years before Jesus, Palestine was invaded by people from northern Iraq, today of the city of Mosul, very famous in the news.
Yes.
They were known as Assyrians. Mm-hmm. Then they were invaded, Palestine was invaded by Babylonians, then Persians, then Greeks, then Romans, all this in one millennium, in 1,000 years. What do you think happened to people there? They would be interacting under these foreign rules, and they would be living in coexistence.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. That's interesting.
But I mentioned these, I wanted to mention these five city-states.
Yeah, it's important.
So they already had their own social organization, political organization, civilization, actually. And there are museums about their products. In the internet, readers or listeners can go and look for Philistine Museum. And it is in my village, now city of Ashdod. There is a museum there, and you can see their products and metallic or pottery arts. And so they have their own civilization.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so the third group that came to the land was the Israelites that came from Egypt. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so can you tell us who they actually were and actually how they interacted with the two groups that were already there once they got there?
Okay.
Can you enlighten us?
So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
On that question that she just asked, I'm wondering, does that mean the Jewish people of Egypt? That's what I'm asking.
I think this is...
Everybody know who the Israelites really are.
Yes. This is a very important question. Mm-hmm. We need to differentiate between vocabulary, between words. We need to be exact. In fact, there is a lot of distortion and misguidance because people do not differentiate words.
Exactly.
The word Israelite should be crystal clear, different from the word Jew.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anybody can be a Jew by converting to Judaism, believing in this religion. Anybody can be Christian by converting to Christianity. Anybody can be Muslim by converting to Islam.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. But this doesn't mean that you become genealogically, physically descendant of Jacob. Israelites are like I mentioned earlier, God gave the covenant or had the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants.
Okay.
So the Israelites are specifically the descendants of Jacob, who is called another name, Israel.
And they came from Egypt.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
We are still talking about Palestine, the land of Canaan.
Okay.
When Abraham arrived, it was called land of Canaan.
Yes.
Although, and also you can say land of Philistines, because Abimelech, the king, was Philistine also.
Right.
So it's the land of Philistine and Canaan. There was famine in the land of Philistine and Canaan, and they immigrated to Egypt under invitation of Sayyidina Yusuf, Joseph. Mm-hmm. A long story of Joseph, who was sold in bondage in Egypt. Then he became prime minister of Egypt because he was prophet of God and he could solve the problem for the king of Egypt about how to explain his dream. Mm-hmm. Then he invited his family to come to Egypt. Yes. This is how they
this
went.
This is my
there.
Favorite story in the Quran, by the way.
Yeah. And of course, you can imagine it shouldn't be just the family of Jacob, who immigrated from land of Canaan and Philistine to Egypt. It should be other Canaanites and other Philistines also.
Sure.
And this is corroborated historically, not away from the Bible, away from the Quran. We have evidence that the people in Palestine went to Egypt and the Egyptians went to Palestine. It's a continuous interaction between neighbors. Okay. So they went to Egypt. They were in good shape. Their son, Joseph, was the prime minister of Egypt. So they had a good life.
Yes. Sure.
But God knows, in maybe 100 years, maybe more, we are not told about that in the Quran. Mm-hmm. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. Then enters Musa, yes. Moses, peace be to him. And by the way, we consider Jesus Christ and Moses are Muslim messengers of God.
Yes,
that's
do.
What's written in our book, in mm-hmm. our, in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So Moses was instructed to go and get the Israelites out of Egypt. And it's actually, Moses is more mentioned in the Holy Quran than any other messenger of mm-hmm. God, including Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon
him.
And his story is the most lengthened story in the...
It's very detailed.
Yes, in so many surahs,
yes.
actually. So the Israelites, at the beginning, were strictly the children of Jacob. But in several hundred years in Egypt, God knows whom they interacted with, intermarried
right.
with.
Mm-hmm.
God knows how many Egyptians converted to Islam. Mm-hmm. Because we consider the teachings of Joseph, the teachings of Moses, the teachings of Jesus, Islam. Islam
yes.
is the message of guidance of to humanity by
yes,
God
yes.
through his messengers.
Mm-hmm.
So God knows how many Egyptians accepted Islam preached by Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
To make a long story short, after a century, two or three, I don't know exactly. Nobody knows for sure. By the way, I researched it. There are estimates. There are guessing about it. Then they left Egypt to the land of Canaan again and Philistine. Again.
Okay. Yes.
So the ones who came back, some of them would be Israelites, and some of them would not be Israelites.
So it was during this time that the 12 tribes were distinguished. Is that correct?
They were distinguished at the time of Joseph.
Okay.
But any claim after that to assign a piece of land to a tribe is just twisting history.
Okay.
People would travel, people would intermarry, mm-hmm. actually. But this is how this is the origin of the Israelites, if you want.
So
answering
you say,
this question.
So yeah. when you say some of the people that came back were Israelites and some were not, the Israelites were specifically the descendants of Jacob.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did they interact with the Canaanites? And the Philistines.
Yeah.
That is the story.
Yes. How did they
Did they all meld together?
Yeah. First, when Moses, peace be to him, had this miracle from Allah, God, praise to him, that he rescued them by hitting the sea by his mm-hmm. stick, and the sea was split mm-hmm. like two huge cliffs.
Yes.
And the Israelites went safely, and the Egyptians after them, they were drowned.
Yes.
Then Moses told them, okay, here is the Holy Land promised to you and through your forefathers, Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. Let's go there. Of course, when you get out from Egypt directly in Sinai,
uh-huh.
the closest place to the Holy Land is Gaza,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
The West Bank is far away, separated by the entire Sinai Peninsula and the Palestinian Negev Desert, southern part of Palestine. So they sent spies to check whether about they can get to the Holy Land through Gaza, it's a city now called Rafah.
Uh-huh, yes.
This is the southernmost part of Palestine, but it is in Gaza Strip. And they discovered that the Palestinians are strong.
Okay.
I just mentioned the Palestinian Pentapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mentioned Gaza in the south, Ashkelon, Ashdod, then Ekron, and Garth. Or in Arabic we say Qatra.
Okay.
So there was an army protecting this land. So they said, we cannot get there through this here. And the story, very well known in the Holy Quran, God wanted to instruct Moses, to give him the Ten Commandments. And so he went to meet with God. And when he brought the tablets with the Ten Commandments, he found them worshiping the calf, the golden calf.
Yeah.
And he was angry about that. And he tried to blame his brother, Aaron, but his brother told him, I tried to keep them together, etc. God Almighty, Allah, praise to him, was angry, just like Moses was angry. And he condemned them for 40 years to be lost in the Sinai desert. Actually, until this generation, which went astray until they die, actually. Then, still, it's a huge desert between them and the area of metropolitan Palestine and Canaan, which is Jerusalem and Hebron, for example. So they went all the way to Jordan, which is eastern bank of the River Jordan, where Musa, peace be to him, died. And it was Yosha bin Nun, his deputy, his servant, and we know about this in Surah Al-Kahf. This is the servant of Sayyidina Musa, when they were together meeting Al-Khadr, the good man, and asking the three questions and three incidents. So, and they entered Palestine, Canaan, from the east. Actually, the Bible goes in detail about it. A lady called Rahab, Palestinian lady in a bar, helped them open the gate, etc., until they could enter Jericho, the first Palestinian Canaanite city. And they were very violent, killing everybody. And the Bible tells us stories upon stories about battles between the Palestinians and the Israelites who came from Egypt. This is the story of the Israelites coming from Egypt. Now, there are all kinds of estimates about dating. I think I came across many. I prefer one sometime between 1250 BC to 1200. This is when they enter Palestine. But still, they were tribes, just people who came from Egypt, and without a king, without a state. And this continued until they asked God. In fact, in one surah, we are told, they asked a prophet about, give us a king so we can fight one.
Yes.
And that's Talut, I think Saul in English. Then this led to David becoming the king after killing Goliath, Jalut in Arabic. And the battles continues between them until Solomon had a strong state, actually, starting from 960 BC. Then when he died, his children split the country into north and south. Israel in the north and Judah in the south. But all this ended when the Iraqis came.
So,
and that's a different
refresh
story.
Refresh me if...
But I think this is what I wanted to say, that...
So they started out fighting.
Yes, the Egyptian Israelites, if I can say that, because there are Egyptians among them who converted, who believed in them. They were not in good terms with the owners of the land, not like Abraham. Peace be to him, who insisted not to take a piece of land, even a grave for his wife, until he paid for it. So this way is different.
And maybe we mentioned this already, and it was lost on me, but when was it exactly decided that that Philistine was the Holy Land?
As Muslims, this is what God told us in the Quran. He told Abraham, I'm going to let you go to a holy land, a blessed land.
So when Ibrahim...
With Abraham. But if you want to go back to history, why is that in particular? Why is it this piece of land that Allah, God, praise to him, described as blessed and holy. Go back to what I mentioned about the Canaanites, the content people.
Yes.
Allah, praise to him, has blessed this land before. Mm-hmm. And he just guided Abraham to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was blessed with all these animals there and bees in the meadows and flowers.
Okay.
So it was flowing with milk and honey for time, God knows, went back in history to how long. But
okay, so yeah. I wanted to ask you, so the first millennium BC, okay, which empires actually invaded the Holy Land?
Yeah, this is really in reference to a previous question I think you okay. asked. What happened between the three groups
okay.
in yes. the millennium before Christ, the 1,000 years before Jesus Christ,
so
peace be to him.
So how did that affect them, though?
Oh, it affects them. Actually, this is the answer going back to the covenant and the promise. But I will tell you how. The first who came to Palestine, invaders, from the Middle East, it's like our time today. There is a superpower in the world, and it expands to levy taxes. Actually, this is what has been happening throughout human history. One power, for a reason or another, overwhelms other neighbors and keeps expanding, ultimately to get resources, whether it is energy like these days or levying taxes strictly. Yeah, I will let you work in your field or in your workshop, but I want to collect taxes from you. So the first to do that were the Assyrians, who came from Mosul, from northern Iraq, Shalmaneser III.
Okay.
And that was 738 BC.
Wow.
And ending Israel at that time. So if you think about the Palestinian Canaanite history, which is for thousands and thousands of years before Christ,
prior to that,
you're talking about the Egyptian Israelites in Palestine just about 200 years.
Yeah.
And how this can give you right to the land and doesn't give right to other, actually, who are thousands of years.
Sure.
And add to that, they are descendants of the Israelites too. But they are, as I mentioned before, I will mention again. The Babylonians followed the Assyrians. The difference between Babel and Assyria, the capital was Mosul, northern Iraq. Mm-hmm. Babel, just 100 kilometers south of Baghdad, about 60 miles south of, so it's Baghdad. So it's central Iraq.
Okay.
This is where the Babylonians came from. The famous king of the Babylonian is known as Nebuchadnezzar or Nebuchadnezzar. This is his name.
Okay.
And he is the one associated with destroying the Pharaoh's temple. That's Suleiman. Temple is the English word, and in Islam we say mosque.
Okay, yeah.
When Allah is worshipped by his messengers, they prostrate.
Sure.
And the word itself means prostrating to God, kneeling down to God, submitting your will to Allah only, not to any other human being. That was 605 BC.
Okay.
That's Babylonian. Directly after them, Persians invaded Palestine, Canaan. And that was 539 BC, the hostility and rivalry between Babylonians and Persians let the Persians side with the Israelites against the Babylonians. And actually, Koresh, the king of the Persians, ordered rebuilding the mosque again, the temple again, the Solomon Temple or Solomon Mosque. And it was rebuilt again. And it was destroyed for the second time by Romans way after that, in 70 AD by Titus the Roman. But after the Babylonians, in 332 BC, the Greeks came, Alexander the Great. Again, this is the new empire in the world.
Okay.
And he took the Eastern Mediterranean, North African states, and went all the way to India, close to India actually. Then the Romans came to Canaan and Palestine in 63 BC.
Wow.
Yes. This is 63
years. 63
B.C.
years before Christ.
Yes. And they continued until 636. So we're talking about 700 years of Roman rule of Palestine. When the Muslims came, led by during the time of Khalifa Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. And there was interruption after that. It was all Muslim rule from 636 until 1917. It was Muslim rule for almost 1300 years and only interrupted by some crusaders coming from Europe to liberate Jerusalem from its owners, from its people. Just imagine, people coming from a continent to liberate a city in another continent. Okay. On the basis of what? Of faith. Again, this is, I want the listeners to think about this. Does your faith allow you to go and own the holy places of your faith on the expense of the people who are living there?
It should not.
Yeah, it should not. Mongols also came all the way from Mongolia.
Mm-hmm. Did they even want to be liberated?
Of course not.
Of course not.
In fact, these days when in the media they use the word liberated, means killing people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Liberating them from life.
And taking
it's
their
irony.
Resources.
Yes.
Yes.
Then Ottoman Empire emerged and expanded in the Middle East at the beginning of the 16th century, to be specifically referring to a battle, Marj Dabiq, 1515. Then the British came 1917 after the defeat of the Ottoman Empire, the Muslim Empire, and dividing the Arab provinces among the victorious European empires. Basically, the Eastern Mediterranean, Syria and Lebanon were taken by France, and the rest were taken by British. The British had a deal to give Palestine to what's known now as the Zionist movement.
Okay. Well, can we kind of go back a little bit, though?
Yes.
I want to ask you a couple questions about the time of Jesus, peace be upon him. So we know that during this time, it was under Roman rule. Correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Correct.
So can you tell us about the people at that time? I mean, like their language and their religion. I mean, were they all the same or were they all different? Or, I mean, can you explain a little bit more in depth about that time period?
Thank you for this question.
Yeah.
During the 1,000 years of foreign rules to the Holy Land, the Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, Greek and Roman, in 1,000 years, five empires. What happened to these three population
exactly.
groups? Philistine, Canaanites, and Egyptian Israelites.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that Philistine and Canaanites interacted already in 3,000 years. They were one nation already, although we know their origin. Now the Israelites, the newcomers, in 1,000 years. I want listeners to think about what happened to America in these 250 years
yes.
or 350
right.
years. Europeans, Asians, Africans, Native Americans, we are, look at us right now.
I know.
Right?
How about 1,000 years
yes.
in being ruled by somebody else? Yeah. So the rivalry this is very important. Rivalry and battles between the Philistines and Israelites ended, right? There is a foreign rule. The Persians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Roman, nobody fights each other. It's really the army of the invading, the superpower.
Sure.
Nobody fights each other. So in culture, they had one language. The time of Jesus, for example, one language. It's Aramaic, which is an ancient form of Arabic.
Arabic, yes.
I remember several years ago, there was a movie called Chastise of Christ, something.
Oh,
Passion.
Passion of Christ.
Passion of Christ.
Actually, I watched it. That was.
I watched it with
yes.
my son, and every time, and they made an effort really to speak in Aramaic.
Yes.
They researched it very well.
Yes.
There are villages in Syria, still they speak this language or this form of Arabic. Mm-hmm. They went there. They made an effort to make the script in Aramaic.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it. It was Arabic.
It was like,
every time, every sentence Jesus would speak, then I look at my son and he looks at me, what's this? It's really just a few grammatical rules, maybe strange. Maybe a few words are strange, but most of it Arabic. So
it's kind of like the American speaking compared to, let's say, the Irish.
Maybe. So Jesus Christ spoke Aramaic.
Yes.
He did not speak Greek or Roman
or Hebrew
or Persian or Hebrew. Mm-mm. He spoke Aramaic.
Yes.
Okay. Now.
And God was Allah.
And God was Allah. For him is Allah, actually.
Yes.
Actually.
For all of these.
So many verses in the Bible, he's referring to the one who is in heavens.
Yes.
He never denied the existence of Allah at the same time.
Absolutely.
Like some people try to say it's just one at any given time. No. In any given time, you always recognize Allah. Our Father in heaven.
And he prayed to him.
He prayed to him. And I remember feeding the multitude when the disciples asked him to pray and give them food for the masses of people who came. He looked up. This is in one version. There are different versions in the story. One version, he looked up. And why would he look up and pray? To whom?
Yeah.
If he is God alone, he doesn't need to look up to anybody.
Exactly.
Okay.
And why would he even pray to himself anyway?
So let's be clear. He was preaching the Torah, right? People in Canaan, Palestine, or Israel, if you want, they followed the Torah.
Yes.
Okay.
It was the Holy Book.
Actually, some people of Philistine or Canaanite origin did not declare that they are Muslims, like Jesus, for example. They were referred to as fearing God, or people who are fearing God. There is a term for that. God-fearing Philistine. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ, but they were not Israelite. So they were believers. This is the word, God-fearing. This is the word. Actually, one definition of piety in Islam is God-fearing. Actually, taqwa.
Yes.
One meaning of it is God-fearing, really.
Taqwa.
Okay. So in language, they spoke Aramaic. In religion, it is the Torah that they followed, the preaching of the prophets and messenger of God, starting from Abraham all the way to Jesus. Now, intermarriage. There was a lot of intermarriage. Even in the Bible, they say Israelites from Jerusalem married girls from Ashdod. That's my village.
Okay.
There was intermarriage. And in some cases, even, they would worship together, even in the temples of the Palestine. It's all of that. My point, the invading powers treated the three population groups as invaded or subjugated or dominated group who have to listen in politics to the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
But the culture was the same. To the extent, the intermarriage and the faith together and the language, and in 1,000 years, they were just, I cannot say homogeneous, because here in the United States, we still cannot say we are homogeneous. We have common grounds among racial groups, ethnic groups, religious groups. We have common grounds. There was a common ground among the three population groups, but in faith, the vast majority of them followed the Torah teachings.
Okay.
What Jesus was preaching, they followed it. After Jesus, peace be to him, and in the first 300 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yes.
Yeah, because the Palestinian population, I mean, did they convert to Christianity?
Oh, in fact, the first 300 years, very few people, very few Palestinians. Now, consider Palestinians, Canaanites and Israelites, are Muslims. That's the best word to describe them.
Okay.
all of them were Muslims. Because,
but the Romans,
because the word
Judaism, God-fearing.
Yeah, because the word Judaism does not exist in the Bible.
Okay.
The word Christianity does not exist in the Bible. There is no, you cannot see it.
Right.
We called it Christianity after that. So what's in there? It's really Islam, submission to God, believe in God, preached by Abraham, Moses, all the prophets, Solomon, David, until Jesus. So people were Muslims.
Yes.
But because of the tyranny of the Roman rule, they did not dare to declare their Islam, or what's known as Christianity.
Okay.
To anybody who would declare his or her faith in Christ, they would be killed. They would be fed to the animals, to the beasts. So in the first 300 years, almost 300 years, Christians were persecuted, so very few people would be Christians. They would just were kept as they were. Then happened Constantine's conversion.
Conversion to Christianity.
And that opened the door, actually, for mass entering on in the faith of what now we know as Christianity.
Okay, so what happened to the Palestinians after the conversion of the Romans to Christianity? And what was that, like 313?
Yes,
around that time?
Yes, this is Constantine's conversion, 313. And until, actually, Heraclius in about 632, Heraclius issued a decree of forced conversion. He said, I don't want to see any Jew in Palestine. Everybody should be Christian. And of course, four more years, the Muslims came and sacked him completely, actually. So during this period, from 313 until 636, when Muslims came, the land was basically Christian, or the population was basically Christian. Who are they in origin? They are the Israelites, the Philistines, and the Canaanites.
Canaanites,
they intermarried. How can you separate them after 1,000 years of intermarriage?
Yeah, it's impossible.
Again, I'm referring this to listeners again. Go and read in the internet, and you will find some Israeli scholars conducted DNA testing on the what's now known as Palestinians, who are Christians and Muslims, and they are almost the same like Oriental Jews.
Yes.
Of course, there's a big difference between these three, Oriental Jews and Palestinians, and converts in other continents, like European Jews, for example. They are a completely different story, in fact. So the second 300 years, people became Christians. Then Muslims came, Islam came. In about two centuries, the vast majority of Christians in the Holy Land, in the Middle East, accepted Islam. So who are the Muslims of Palestinians, or Christians of Palestine? They're really the Canaanites, the Philistines, and the Israelites. And if anybody in the world who has the right to claim descent from Jacob, from Israel, is really the Palestinian people, not somebody from Asia or Africa. With all respect to, we are all human beings. But if you took, if somebody is building their existence now and their ideology and this idea of faith in Judaism, that's not really, they are not correct in that. If anybody has the right to claim Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, it is really the Christian, Muslim, and Jewish population of Palestine.